this morning I want us to delve into what has to be our imagination. Because no one in this room has ever experienced the reality of what I'm about to communicate. Think, if you were born blind and had no concept of the reality of what sight is. We take that for granted. We will even pity those who are born into that condition. Yet for the most part, they're okay with it, just for the fact that they have never known anything else. Try to explain to someone who has never seen what a mountain range looks like. Try to explain to them the beauty of a newborn baby. Try to explain a quarter. And yes, they could feel and experience what round is. But having never seen, they would still not really know. In your explanation of a quarter, you may say, well, it's silver. To someone blind, what does silver mean? Well, it has a picture of a face. It has an eagle with its wings spread on the back. No concept, really, whatsoever. Keep that picture in your mind as we go through our passage today. Because we are going to meet this morning a blind man named Bartimaeus. This will be Jesus' final physical healing in the Gospel of Mark. This is the only time that Jesus is healed where the name of the individual is given. And you might be thinking, well, no, I've heard other names in other places, but those names are generally family members or friends that have brought that person. This is the only place where the individual is named. So turn, if you would, with me to Mark chapter 10. We're actually going to finish the 10th chapter this morning. And let's begin reading at verse 46. And then they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here? So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up. He is calling for you. And throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Let's pray. Father, as we have read your word this morning, Lord, as your Spirit is here to teach us, I pray that we will hear from you, be obedient to your words, and go forth from this place serving you with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. For it's in your name we pray today. Amen. Remember last week, we had the lesson of Jesus talking to James and John, who had come up and said, Jesus, we wish to sit one on the right, one on your left when you come into glory. And Jesus saying, he who wishes to be great must become a servant. And then in verse 45, he said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. I entitled this morning's message, Two Types of Blindness. Because within our passage today, there are two sets of blind individuals. There is this man, Bartimaeus, who is physically blind. And there are the disciples who are still in some way suffering from a form of physical blindness. We see this pattern going all the way back to Mark chapter 8, where after the feeding of the 4,000, Jesus looked at his disciples. And in verse 17, he says, do you not yet see or understand? In verse 18, he says, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? So the disciples, in their quest of following Jesus, Jesus is pointing out their blindness. Jesus then uses the example of a blind man. Remember the blind man who he actually touched twice. The first time, he says, are you healed? And he says, well, I see men, but they kind of look like trees walking around. And then Jesus touched him again, and his sight was made whole. A kind of object lesson to where the disciples stood. And I remember, as I said, a man who was born blind or a woman who was born blind, that frailty in their life is not as big of a deal to them as we think it would be to us. There's a difference between somebody born blind and somebody who goes blind. I was even during my quest in this, I went and I Googled Helen Keller. Not realizing that for the first year and a half of her life, she had both her sight and her hearing. I don't know what impact that had on the rest of her life, but she wasn't necessarily born that way. as Jesus is trying to show the disciples who he is. And Peter catches a glimpse as after this altercation with this blind man, back in chapter 8, it is there where Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that? Who do men say that I am, and who do you say that I am? And Peter cries out, you are the Christ. And Peter got the wording right, but I don't know if necessarily he got the concept right still. He then was present with Jesus in the Transfiguration in chapter 9, witnessing the glory of God upon the Savior. Should have been completely life-changing. After all of this, Jesus foretells his death, beginning in verse 30 of chapter 9. And they don't get it. Jesus introduces an attitude of servanthood, beginning in verse 33 of chapter 9. The concept of he who wants to be first must be last. I mean, you think they would have caught a glimpse of this a little bit better, but here's a man that's casting out demons in Jesus' name, and the disciples are all in an uproar. He can't do that. That's for us. As Jesus travels around, a group of children come running up to him in chapter 10. What do the disciples do? Get away. Jesus don't have time for you. And in verse 14, Jesus says, "Permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." These poor disciples. They're having such a hard time understanding. But then in verse 17 of chapter 10, this young man comes up to Jesus. He's dressed nicely. He's got some jewelry. Rings on his fingers, maybe some chain around his neck. He speaks intellectually. And he comes up to Jesus and asks the most important question that any man could ask. What must I do to inherit eternal life? I kind of imagine the disciples at this point were giddy. I mean, here's somebody coming to Jesus not wanting any of the other things that everybody else has been asking for. They don't want to be healed. Or he doesn't want to be healed. He doesn't want Jesus to bless him in any way. He doesn't want Jesus to inconvenience himself in helping him. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And yet this is the only person, as I mentioned I believe last week, who left Jesus with his request not fulfilled. We went into the discourse of how hard it is for anyone to enter the kingdom of heaven if they put anything above their relationship with God. The Bible is specific in using monetary terms here because it's something that we can all understand, but the concept is anything that we put in front of God. Jesus again in verse 32 says, we're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die, be buried, and rise again. And many who are first will be last, and the last first. Second time that this concept is brought up. Do you think the disciples would have gotten it by now? No, because in the very next verse, that's where we saw last week's message. James and John comes up, says, Jesus, can you place both of us, one on your right, one on your left, in your kingdom? He who wishes to be first must become a servant. And that's where we find ourselves then this morning. Verse 46. They came to Jericho. They're on their way to Jerusalem. That's where this final journey will lead them. And as they're passing by Jericho, as he's leaving with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. These passages always get to me. How is it that I treat the least among us? I mean, I have expectations of the least. I want them to be just like me. What a sad state that would be. I was thinking, and I've used this illustration before, and I'll use it again. The little guy sitting at the end of the exit ramp off of 77 coming into Dover. And yes, there have been times when I have opened my window and given them things. But there have been more times where, oh, look, there's something over this way. What if we had an individual who would park himself in front of our front door on a Sunday morning? How would we react? This is Bartimaeus. As they were leaving the city, so most likely he was at the gate of the city. And those who had no other way of making an income, they would either sit at the gate of the city or at the entrance to the synagogue. Places where many people passed by. And there's Bartimaeus. He's sitting there begging for alms so he can eat. When he had heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Kind of imagine the scene. Bartimaeus is not the only person that is there. There are the lame, the blind, probably the deaf, the sick. They're all there. We're at the end of Jesus' ministry. By now, pretty much all of Israel knows who Jesus is. And I imagine that as Jesus is passing by, it's not only Bartimaeus that is crying out to him. But Bartimaeus is using a different language. He's using different pronouns to refer to Jesus. Because I imagine everyone was saying, Jesus, or Jesus the Nazarene. And Bartimaeus cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David. Referencing King David from the Old Testament. The son of David would be an heir to the throne. He would be the one to rule Israel. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet. And he kept crying out, all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. This was his only chance. As he saw it, he may never have the opportunity again for the Son of God to pass by his way. So as everybody, including the disciples, were shooing him, dude, be quiet. This is Jesus. He has so many better people to see and talk to than you. Will you please just stand in the corner and be quiet? And all the more he cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Son of God hears each and every sinner that cries out to him. And Jesus this day heard little old blind Bartimaeus. Jesus stops. He says, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up. He is calling for you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this man? He's crying out to Jesus. Not holding out much hope. For I imagine all hope that he's had in his life has been very slim and shot down. As he gets up and someone leads him to the gates of the city for his day of sitting, begging for alms. And he says, maybe, just maybe, I'll have enough today to get a couple pieces of fish and some biscuits. And probably leaving with enough just for the biscuits and no fish. So his expectations, I don't think, were very high. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus, come here. Verse 50, throwing aside his cloak, he jumps up and came to Jesus. What a picture. And Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he says to him, "Rabbi, I want my sight." Whether he had sight in the past or was born blind, the feeling here is that he has not been able to see for quite some time. Generally, when somebody, not all the time, but generally when people during this time lost their sight, it was generally due to a childhood illness, much like Helen Keller. So in some sense, he's asking Jesus to give him something that he really doesn't understand what it is. Jesus, give me sight. You know, it would be interesting at this point if Jesus would have just asked him, "What is sight?" For you see, when we come into this world, each and every one of us are born spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. We don't have the concept of what spiritual blindness really is. If we were to ask somebody who is not redeemed what it is to be saved, they might mimic the terminology, but they're not able to understand. It would be like a blind man explaining a quarter. Oftentimes we use the example of Lazarus, the man who Jesus brought back from the dead. We use that as an example of God's sovereign election and His sovereign grace. As Jesus called out Lazarus, and Lazarus comes up. And I've even been guilty of using, well, if Lazarus comes alive and looks around, you know, would he want to be dead again? That's not the proper example. The proper example in that situation is somebody who is just dead. They have never been alive. And when salvation calls upon them, and spiritual life is breathed into their nostrils, and their lungs for the first time fill up with spiritual air, and they wake up to a spiritual reality of mountains and snow and would they want to go back to the nothingness of being dead? Bartimaeus asks Jesus for his sight. And this changed his life. Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Do you see what salvation produces? Salvation produces a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what Bartimaeus becomes. See, the disciples are going to continue struggling with this. I mean, I honestly believe they struggle with this all the way up until the day of Pentecost, where everything that Jesus has taught them finally makes sense. And it makes sense through the power of the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, if you're here today and you have never been born again, what I mean by that, if your spiritual eyes are still darkened, if your spiritual ears are still closed, if your spiritual body is still dead, Jesus and Jesus alone is the only one that can fix your dead condition. If you think you have a handle on it, I mean, fine. I would imagine if you were to find a blind person, somebody who has never seen, they would try to explain as best they could what things were. They might say, a quarter is silver. Well, how do you know that? Well, somebody told me. They might say, it has a head on it, a face on it. Well, how do you know? Well, I feel something, and somebody has told me it's a face. They may have the concept down. They may think they know what a quarter is. But until you actually see it, it's hard to understand. We cannot understand the saving grace of God until He opens our blind eyes. When they're open, what do? If you want to be great, be a servant. If you want to be first, be last. Reach out to those that need Him. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. If we know Him, are we doing the same? Father, so many times we think in our heads that we know what things are. We know how we think things should be. But Lord, it's not until You open our eyes that we realize just what exactly it is that You have given us. Father, I pray this morning if there is anyone in this room who does not know You, who has not bent their knee in submission to You, that, Father, Your Spirit would open their blind eyes, open their deaf ears, and breathe spiritual life into them. Father, we don't know how often you might pass before us. Bartimaeus took this as the only opportunity that he would have to cry out to you. I pray, Lord, we would do the same even today. Lord, continue to mold us and make us into the image of your Son. May we be pleasing to you in all that we say and do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.